الذين هم يراءون. وقال تعالى: وإذا قاموا إلى الصلاة قاموا كسالى يراءون الناس ولا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أول ما يحاسب به العبد يوم القيامة الصلاة، فإن صلحت صلحت سائر عمله وإن فسدت فسدت سائر عمله، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. So the last point we mentioned that to read Fazail Namaz, Fazail Salat of the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, in reading it, it will create fervor for performing Salah. And then with that, we have to learn the Masail of Salah. It is imperative. And two kitabs that are very effective in this. One is Talim al-Islam, and one is Besht Zewar. And as I mentioned, a person in Karachi, he used to sell achar on a bicycle. But his name was Mufti Achar. Mufti Achar. Why? Because he used to read Besht Zewar every day, 10 pages. And he was so well versed with the kitab. When he completed one, then he started again. And people found it easier to ask him masail than even the maulvis, because the masail were in his head all the time. Because he completes one and he starts again. He completes one and he starts again. So Talim Islam, Besht Zewar. And then obviously this aid to read some kitab regarding how to inculcate within oneself concentration in Salat. As the Shaykh Hamdullah Ali in Fazail Amal towards the end in the section of Salat has also touched on this subject and written about getting concentration in Salat. Lekin Quran wa Sunnat mein bhi uski bhi wadaat hai ki namaz ke tamam fazail aur zindagi par uska atar حقیقی نماز یعنی بارو اور خشوع و خضوع والی نماز سے حاصل ہوتا ہے، جس میں احسان کی کیفیت یعنی ان تعبد اللہ کانک تراہ کا منظر ہو. But from Quran and Sunnah we understand the virtues that are mentioned in the Quran and Ahadith. The virtues that are mentioned in the Quran and Ahadith is regarding that salah which has devotion, concentration, which has life in it, which has soul in it. So it is just not an outward salat that the virtues are on. So this is very, very important to understand. For example, the question comes many times that a person is performing five times salah, but still he is engaging in lying, he is engaging in other evil acts. So there's inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar, that salat will prevent you from all forms of wrong and shameless acts, is on condition that the salat is worth jaan and soul. It is worth khushu and khudu, worth concentration and devotion. So this is very, very important to understand. And he mentioned this, أَنْتَ عَبُدُ اللَّهُ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَىٰ. Hazrat has given a long explanation on this hadith of Jibreel, that you worship Allah as if you are seeing Him. One point, Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned, in dunya, it will be ka, what ka? In akhirah, the ka will be removed. So say, in dunya it will be as if you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In akhirah, inshallah, if you read salat with concentration, the ka will be removed, you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anta abdullah ka anna ka tara. Aur ghaflat wali namaz ke liye jo Quran wa hadith mein sakht waid aayi hai. On the other hand, those who read salat in negligence, unmindful, there is great admonitions which have come in the Quran Ahadith. So it's not sufficient only to read Salat. Whereas admonition has come in the Ahadith and the Quran Kareem for those who perform Salat. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. The destruction, one explanation of wail is the pit of Jahannam. Be for people who perform Salat, not those who don't perform Salat. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Who are negligent regarding this salah. As far as negligent sahun is concerned, as the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written, one is that a person is unmindful of the time of salah. Unfortunately, he doesn't read Salat on his time. The second Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi is written that he is negligent in his Salah. There is no concentration, devotion. And the third is that he is not aware of the amount of rakat he has performed. This will all constitute sahur. And we think about it, how many times we are not aware of the rakat that we perform. And this has become habitual. It happens once or twice, that's fine. But now it has become a habitual thing that we are not aware. There is total negligence. So the Quran Karim says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. And then there is so much negligence in our salat, in terms of our postures, in terms of our mind, etc. So for that, there is wa'id, that strong admonitions have come. And whereas a person that performs salat correctly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. That indeed, those believers have attained success. One is the word قَدْ is mentioned here. قَدْ comes in tahqeeq, to show certainty. It is definite. It is a given. It is accepted. Aflaha is also peremadi. That means his wuku has taken place. It has taken place already. Although the actual manifestation of the spala, of the success, will only be in akhirah, but it is so definite that Allah has mentioned it with the past tense already. That qad aflaha al-mu'minun. The believers have attained success already. And the word spala, as we have mentioned, one is Allama Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned in the Sharah of Muslim Sharif. It is one word, word nasihat. That there is no equal in the Arabic language for these words. There is no other synonym that would fully describe this word, salah. And if you look at the word nasihat also, when you translate ad-deen nasiha, how many words we have to use to explain the word ad-deen nasiha? It is well wishes, it is advice, it is trying to do good. So many different words we have to use for the word nasiha. In the same way, the word salah. But then, Hazrat explains that one way of explaining salah, although there will be no other Arabic word that will be able to explain, Imam Raghib Asfahani rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned the same thing, that Salah is such a comprehensive word that you won't find, forget only in Arabic, not in any other language, that will fully explain the word Salah. So one way of explaining Salah is goodness of every form of what you perceive to be good in dunya and akhirah will be for that person. Every form, whatever man associates to be successful, will be encapsulated in the meaning of salah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala in explaining the word khashi'un mentions a khaifuna qalban sakinuna qaliban. What is khaifun? Khashi'un, that a person has humility. We normally translate it as humility. So what is humility in practical terms? One is khaifuna qalban. When he's performing salah with a heart that is fearful. That is one. Second, sakinuna qaliban. Outwardly he's motionless. There is no excessive movement in him, unnecessary movement, scratching, itching, etc. And we think about it. Before salah, while we are sitting waiting for salah, we're not itching anyway. Just when we start salah, then every itch we are totally aware of, our ears, everything. So motionless to be in salah. So then you will attain success. This salah will give you benefit. Then that salah, inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. And then Hazrat says, not only will we start leaving sins, leaving of sins will become enjoyable. Leaving of sins will become enjoyable. حضرت عبداللہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ فرماتے ہیں کہ ایک مرتبہ حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے آسمان کی طرف نگاہ اٹھائی. حضرت عبداللہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ says, on one occasion, نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم lifted his eyesight towards the sky. اور یہ ارشاد فرمایا. And then he mentioned کہ اس وقت ان کی دنیا سے اٹھ جانے کا وقت منکشف ہوا ہے. The time when knowledge will be lifted from this world has opened to me. That means I have been told, This is a prophecy that I have been shown the time when knowledge will be taken away from the people. Hazrat Ziyad Sahabi ne arz kiya. A Sahabi by name was Ziyad radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Immediately interjected and asked Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, ilm hum se kis tarah ujh jayega? How can knowledge be lifted from us? In which form? Hum log Quran Sharif padhte hai. We read Quran Karim. Aur apni aulaad ko padhate hai. Obviously, she's looking at his situation, the Sahaba situation, where they read Quran al-Kareem, and they teach Quran al-Kareem to their children, or wo is tarah apne aulaad ko padhayenge, and in this way they will teach their children, aur silsila chalta rahega, and this system will carry on. We will teach our children will teach their children will teach their children, knowledge will remain alive. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne farmaya, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, main to tujhe bada samajhdar khayal karta tha. I thought you to be very intelligent, Ziyad. Then now I thought you to be very intelligent. When I'm ye Yahood and Nasara bhi to Torah to Injil parte parate hai. The Jews and the Christians also teach the Torah to the Injil. And till now they've got Bible classes on Sundays, etc. And they have church groups and Bible studies. They have it till today. But look at the deen. Has been adulterated completely. Completely. If you look at just one discussion regarding gay marriages, already nearly 14 to 15 countries have changed their ruling regarding gay marriages is allowed. South Africa was the fifth country, just by way of information. And out of the 14 countries, 9 are European countries. And which predominantly is the Christian religion. So what is the teaching of the Bible? And what is the transformation? Now they're discussing the Church of England about gay priests, etc. So the religion, Bible classes is carrying on, but what is the reality of the religion compared to what is the want and the requirement of the Bible? So knowledge will carry on. But the thing that will be missing is the life of knowledge. Nasara bhi Torah Injil parhati hai. So fir kya kar aamad hua? Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the question, then what happened? How come they get adulterated the religion despite all these things, the teachings carrying on taking place? So one we understand, that the first point is that knowledge in itself, the knowledge is a thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used from time immemorial to distinguish the most superior from the less. And Allah has used us always. In fact, Hazrat Hakim Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, mentioned that if there was something more virtuous in knowledge, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by a death would have shown the superiority of Adam over the Malaika. The mere fact that Allah showed the superiority of Adam over Malaika via knowledge. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. The choice of knowledge will always be and will always remain the criteria of superiority. There's no question. So knowledge, and there is the Quran al-Kareem, Ahadith al-Mubarakah are repleted with the virtues of knowledge. That also we are aware of. But which type of knowledge? It is just not knowledge being transferred, but with jhan. So therefore we have to, there's a few points that certain awsaf in the people of ilm must come. Then that knowledge will be beneficial. It is essential that these awsaf, these qualities be in the people of knowledge, for that knowledge to be beneficial, to be effective to those that they are propagating to also. And these awsaf are mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem. What the awsaf of an alim should be. One is that the iman should be very, very, very strong. And the dalil for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْإِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا. Those that are thorough in their knowledge, those that have got maharat in their knowledge, that have got thoroughness in their knowledge, they cry and they shout, that Amanna we brought iman. From this, Hazrat Hakim Sahib says, the first condition for knowledge to be highly effective is that a person of ilm is supposed to have very, very strong iman. Second, Hazrat says, that the concept of tawheed and shahadat should be very, very strong in him. The concept of tawheed and shahadat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about testimony him giving, this is the highest testimony in the Quran al-Kareem, where Allah ta'ala gives testimony himself. شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies that there is no deity except him. Not only he, But even the malaika and the people of ilm. So the second quality that has to be in ulama-i kiram is tawheed wa shahada. Third quality, that of ulama-i kiram al-buka, to be the shukrain abundance. And this also comes in the Quran al-Karim. If you look at Surah Bani Israel, in where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the sifat of the ulul ilm, those that have been given knowledge, ulul ilm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in ayat 106, 107, 108, 109 towards the end of Surah Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions yakhirruna lil-athqan. First of all, ulama's sifat is that they always fall onto their faces in submission to Allah in sajda. Yabkoon, they cry. وَيَزِيدُهُمْ خُشُوعًا. So there are two qualities that are mentioned in this ayat al-Karima that people of ilm should have. One is that they have buka in them, that is yabkoon. And the other, the fourth quality we are talking about is khushu, that they have total humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Humbleness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are four. And the fifth sifat that ulama should be, they should have within them is khashiyat. And that also is from the Quran al-Kareem, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَا. That the ulama has khashiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those can only be termed ulama in one as Mujaddid al-Millat Mulasa Ritani rahmatullahi alayhi said, that those that have khashiyat of our ulama, those that have khashiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are ulama. So these are five qualities. Then that knowledge will become beneficial. Then that imparting of the knowledge will become beneficial. And how do you make this knowledge beneficial? There are five things that a person should adopt in order to make the ilm nafi. Hazrat Hakim Sahib mentions that one is fakr se muhabbat karna, to love poverty. What is the reason for loving poverty? Because if you love poverty, then you'll be able to free yourself from dunya. Otherwise, you'll be obsessed with dunya. So you, in that way, you will free yourself from dunya. Second, ibadat ki muhabbat. A person should have love for ibadat. Then this ilm will become nafi. And when making ibadat also, talab e tawab ki niyat ke saath. That make ibadat with this zeal in a person of tawab. Third, dunya se be rekhbati. To be disinclined towards dunya. And also there, if a person adopts a lifestyle of zahad, then you will have a lot of free time. Today, most of our time is taken in talab-e ma'ash. Therefore, we don't have enough time for deen. So if a person lives a life of zahad, of abstention, and no inclination towards dunya, then there will be enough time for ibadah. There will be enough time for salat. If you look, what is the thing that preoccupies us most of the time? It's talab-e dunya. So if a person inculcates within himself their raghbati in this inclination. The fourth thing, hikmat ki muhabbat. A person has love for hikmat. And what type of hikmat? With the intention of salah al-qalb, for the reformation of the heart. This always look for that occasion, that situation where people will help you in and aid you and advise you in reformation of the heart. And then the other first quality is khalwat ki muhabbat. Love of remaining in seclusion. And what is the purpose? Not just the purpose of be disinclined from people or remaining in seclusion for the purpose of remaining in seclusion. No. Munajat ya Rabb ke liye. To speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in solitude. These five things if a person inculcate, soon his ilm will become nafi. Soon his ilm will become very, very beneficial. And we look, as it is mentioned, that what is, just by the, as it mentioned one other point, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the knowledge of seven things to seven people. This also, we should see what knowledge should we make talab towards. One is, Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the knowledge of asma, or the name of things. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا.
Hazrat Khidr alayhi salatu salam, Allah Ta'ala gave him firasat of ilm, the deep insight of knowledge. وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا إِلْمًا, knowledge from our side. إِلْمَ لَدُنِّي, إِلْمَ حُكْمِ, إِلْمَ الْحِكْمَ, we had given Hazrat Khidr alayhi salatu salam from our side. As far as Yusuf alayhi salatu salam is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَعْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, that we gave you the knowledge of the interpretation of dreams. Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu salam, he was given the knowledge of making armor, etc. وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ سُنْعَةَ لَبُوسٍ. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam, مَنْتِكَ الطَّيْرِ, he was given the knowledge of the speech of the birds. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu salam was given the knowledge of Torah and Injil. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةُ وَالْتَوْرَاةُ وَالْإِنْجِيلُ. But for us, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what knowledge was he given? وَعَلَّمُكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمُ. First Allah Ta'ala says, we taught you what you did not know. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةُ, and we taught him the Quran Kareem and Hikmah. Hikmah can refer to Ahadith Mubarakah. Ar-Rahman allama al-Quran. Ar-Rahman has taught the Quran Kareem. So, ya Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullah alayhi has written that for us, the ulama, because the fazilat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on the basis of Allah teaching Quran and Ahadith. In that way, for that is the knowledge that we should endeavor for. And in that we will get great respect, etc. Then Hazrat has mentioned about qubuliyat al-ilm. Hazrat Hakim Sahib has mentioned the signs of acceptance of a person's knowledge. One is that you will find the ahl ilm will have khashiyat, they'll have fear of Allah. Second, they will have abdiyat, total servitude within them. And third, panayat. Khashiyat, abdiyat, panayat, total annihilation. And the things that will remain, they will stay aloof from is takabbur, pride, ihsas e bartari, that they are better than somebody else, a superiority complex, and inclination towards jah and mal. And inshallah, if a person has these qualities within himself, then a person will supersede the people of his time and his generation. So very, very important that ilm in itself is not sufficient. The jaan of ilm has to be there. So knowledge will be transferred from group to group, from people to people. And Allah has given different examples to understand this. He says, look, today, mashallah, to a great extent, qurbani is prevalent. But what is the actual qurbani itself? That a person does it with his own hands, etc. Now to a great extent, many people, for qurbani, the life of qurbani is gone. So you just write a check, you sign a check, you send to some organization to slaughter for you in Malawi. There is no harm. It's not that the qurbani will not be made. But, and then at that time you become very humanitarian in your approach, that these poor people in Malawi haven't seen meat for the whole year, so we need to help them. But then you're hiding behind a guard. Because if you are so concern on a human basis and feelings for mankind, then why don't you slaughter meat for them the whole year? Because you only see meat once a year. So the qurbani time, inshallah, somebody else will be selling. Send 3 months later, send 6 months later, send 9 months later. But it is just, as I say, to protect our melamine kitchens, they remain in pristine condition, so nothing, no blood comes into the kitchen, etc. So now we say, because the poor people in Malawi don't see meat. If you truly have really concern, then send every 2-3 months one sheep to Malawi for the people to partake of. Or, as it says, one other easy way is your sunnat qurbani, your wajib qurbani do it here. And your nawafi, nafal qurbani, do it overseas. Fine, so that you can do for your grandfather, your great-grandfather. And also this, we should keep in mind, as it says, keep in mind, that keep a list by you. Every year, that who are you making qurbani for? Say for example, and we are so indebted, for example, to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah. Till now our thought hasn't even gone to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah. The Khulafa'i Arba, for them to make qurbani. So 1 year you make Fazl Abu Bakr, 1 year Fazl Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, and you can carry on like that. Or those Sahaba that you just got a natural inclination towards, that your heart just stayed towards, and everybody, for them, the Muhaddithin, their fuqaha, they're our parents, our grandparents, our asatiza ikram. And this is the real gift that we can give our asatiza. On one occasion, marhum Maulana Abdul Hamid Panwali sahab, rahmatullah alayh, he told Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayh that he made qurbani for Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayh on his name, on his behalf. So the Shaykh became so happy. He said, this gift and this hadiah is more superior than any worldly hadiah. Because they understood the spirituality of that. So even for our asatiza ikram, etc., to make qurbani in their name. If a person has nafal, send that overseas if you haven't got that amount of finance to make separate. But, and then as I mentioned, even today we find the destruction of madaris is carrying on. The dharmas in number are increasing. The makatib in number are increasing. But the jaan is gone. The life is gone. You see, mashallah, for example, in the maktab you'll find that they will teach in the afternoon. We will teach the masail of salat. And we'll discuss the postures. And we'll teach them each posture in salat. But it depends now whether asr is in madrasa time or not in madrasa time. If asr is in madrasa time, then every student will go to the masjid. And if asr is outside madrasa time, nobody makes fikr to see that the students come for namaz. So it's just passing of information. Where this jaan is, that you have the fikr that salat comes into their lives, and you work out a program for the salat. Yeah, even if it's 5 minutes, if the bell rings at 5:10 and namaz is at 5:15, you'll find the masjid empty of the madrasa students. And nobody will make fikr that, mashallah, we're teaching them from 2 o'clock till 5 o'clock, salat, Quran, ahadith, so the outside will remain. There will be production of ulama ikram, but those qualities that were mentioned will be few. So it's not only regarding ulama ikram or ilm, but even in our own actions in terms of qurbani, in terms of zakat, Hazrat mentions, that also zakat, where the true zakat is, where a person goes himself to distribute the zakat, so he can feel the way the poor are living. And ni'am al-amir, Hazrat mentions, ni'am al-amir ala baab al-fakir. The best rich person is the one that is at the door of the poor person. So then the true feeling of zakat will come. And in fact, you would be grateful and thankful for the person that took your zakat. He has allowed you the opportunity to fulfill your obligation. Not that he must be thankful to you. So when you go to the area and you give and you distribute your zakat, the feeling of the poor will come to you. So this is very, very important that we don't only just concentrate on the output of amal. That the jaan of amal will come. Otherwise you will be transferring knowledge, but there will be no amal coming into the ummat. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu ke shagird kehte hain. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu student says, ke maine dusre sahabi Hazrat Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala anhu se jaakar ye kisah sunaya. So this hadith that we just mentioned, that Hazrat Abu Darda mentioned, that one occasion Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that knowledge will be lifted, and the time has dawned upon me. And Hazrat Ziyad asked the question, how is that possible? So Hazrat Abu Darda, student also had this hadith from Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala. So he went to another sahabi by the name of Hazrat Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala, and he mentioned that Hazrat Abu Darda has said this. Unhone farmaya, he replied, ki Abu Darda sach kehte hai. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala has spoken the truth. Aur main batau ki sabse pehle kya cheez duniya se uthegi. But I inform you of what will be lifted first. One is gender, ilm will be lifted. But what aspect of ilm will be lifted first? Sabse pehle namaz ka khushu uth jayega. The first thing that will be lifted is the concentration in salat. Tu dekhega, you will see ki bari masjid mein ek shakhs bhi khushu se namaz padhne wala na hoga. In a whole full masjid, there won't be one individual performing salat with concentration. So concentration will be taken. The outward form of salat will remain, but there will be no life in that salat. And as it says, explain this, what is the life of salat? To understand is, one is a person has built a house, and he has put all the points, the plugs, the fridge, the microwave oven, the stove. But till there isn't current, nothing can come into life. All the things will be there. The fan will be there, the microwave oven will be there, the fridge will be there. What is required? Just one switch of the current. In the same way, as it says, this is the khushu of salat.
It's not only the outward, but the outward itself, a fair on its own, will not blow. There's the Indian current that comes into the fair. In the same way, that salat will only be effective if there is the current of rule, of khushu in the salat. Hazrat Hudayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, jo Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke razdar kehlate, Hazrat Hudayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the secret keeper of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed him as to the less of the munafiqeen. And this is also another lesson we should learn. That only, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one is Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, should see whether Hazrat Huzayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu should present himself for any janaza. And then he would partake in the janaza or abstain. Reason being that Hazrat Huzayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu had the less of who are the munafiqeen. That is one. The other is, look at the iman of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. From time to time he used to go to Hazrat Huzayfa and ask Hazrat Huzayfa, is my name on the list or not? Imagine, who the Nabi said, لو كان نبيا بعدي لكان عمر. If there had to be a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar. But such fear he had of nifaq. And today we are totally satisfied with our iman. There is no tawbah in our lives, there is no istighfar in our lives, there is no regret in our lives, there is no humility in our lives. Whereas people of such nature, and one lesson we learn, the greater proximity that a person has to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greater khashiyat he will have. And if a person is minus khashiyat, that means he hasn't proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to read one incident of the khashiyat of our qadiri and mashayikh in respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Hazrat Akim Sahib has written after the fazail of ulama, and the virtues of ulama and what qualities the ulama should inculcate within them. After the Hazrat has mentioned incident after incident about the khashiyat of our qadiri. That this is what is required. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. What khashiyat is required, and he's given one example. Inshallah, we have some time, we will discuss those salient features of the khashiyat of our qadiri. So, Huzayfa radiallahu ta'ala, jo Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke razdar kehlate hain, wo bhi farmate ke sabse pehle namaz ka khushu utha jayega. The first thing to be lifted will be concentration and devotion in salah. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu se kisi ne poocha, somebody asked Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, ke khushu kya cheez hai? This khushu we are discussing, this concentration, devotion, what is it? Farmaya, he replied, ke khushu dil mein hota hai. Khushu is in the heart. So it's about the heart. When we discuss this on Thursday, it is not the outward motion, slow movement, or outward, no. It is a condition of the heart. What does a person feel himself to be? That is his khushu, that is his humility within himself. When a person walks in the masjid, does he feel himself superior? Does he feel himself lower than everybody else? As the Barashah Thani rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, it's not permissible to give bayan, tell you do not feel yourself lower than those that you are speaking to. So this is so important that we carry on thinking about this all the time. And in our sajda, this is the real expression of our khushu, of our humility in front of Allah. That not only physically we surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but by our heart and mind. Allah, you are everything. I am nothing. Subhan. The glory be to you. You are free of faults. I am full of faults. Rabbi, my sustainer. Al-A'la, the most high. I am the lowest. And the more you get this in you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise you. Man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. And when you see the sign of khashiyat come in a person, when he starts, stop looking at the faults of others. Because he's become so obsessed with his own faults. And his faults become known to him all the time. And the one way of remaining blind to your faults is when your concentration is on the faults of others. Then you will not get the tawfiq of seeing your faults. And then you will not understand your position in front of Allah. So the quicker a person moves away from seeing the faults of others, the quicker when his faults will come apparent to him. And when his faults become apparent to him, then khashiyat will come. So this Qatada radiallahu ta'ala kehte hain ki dil ka khushu Allah ta'ala ka khauf hai. What is this khushu of the heart? It is the fear of Allah. Or nigaah ko niche rakhna. So that means insight, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to lower one's gaze. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne ek martaba ek shakhs ko dekha ki namaz mein daari par haath phir raha hai. On one occasion Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam seen a person that he was wiping or going over his beard with his hands. Insan farmaya, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, as mentioned, ki agar uske deen mein khushi hota, if there was khushi in his heart, to badan ke sare aada mein sukoon hota, then his body would have been motionless. He would not have engaged in trivial activity. So our engagement in trivial activity is a sign that we haven't got concentration. We haven't got khushu. So it is imperative that we build this. But before we continue, there is one point to mention. So because this word khushu has come all the time, that to concentrate, to get khushu. Remember, khushu in salat is matlub and maqsood. To get concentration in salat is matlub and required and desired. And this is what we should endeavor and get. That is one thing. Then there is absorption. Mustadrak, where a person is absorbed. That is not matlub, it is not maqsood, it is mahmood, it is praiseworthy. We should understand this. That is a praiseworthy quality, it is not required. It is not in the capacity of everybody to be mustagharak in salat, to be absorbed totally in salat. If you're going to endeavor for that, then we might be totally despondent that we are trying for so long and that quality hasn't come. In that Hazrat is mentioned, that is a quality that Allah Ta'ala bestows. When a person endeavors in khushu, in getting concentration and devotion, then if Allah wants, He will give him the quality. And this is mahmood, praiseworthy, it is not matloob, it is not desired. So we should understand, when we're talking of concentration, it is not that you are oblivious of your surroundings, and you are totally unaware. Now many people understand khushu to be this, that how is it possible that I'm hearing the birds are chirping, I'm hearing the clock ticking. No, that's not khushu. That's not required. That is a quality that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed with you. Like we read in the stories of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, where there was a snake in the house, they were unaware, or there was a fire burning, and the person was totally unaware of his surroundings. In fact, to understand it, for ours, Mawla Umar Panapuri rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned that I seen real humility in my Shaykh. He was talking about the Shaykh Zakaria, Mawla Zakaria sahab rahmatullahi alayhi. He says, Hazrat was Mehman Nawaz, he was always hosting guests, and he should take particular interest in that. And he would see that no guest comes there, and they did not partake of some meal. So he says, at times Hazrat should be involved in Awabin Salat. But he would be aware of the footsteps of the guest. Then he would shorten his Awabin Salat. He would shorten his Awabin Salat. Where on the other hand, if we, somebody else sees us, and we lengthen our Awabin Salat, he would shorten his Awabin Salat in order to feed the guest. So the guest must not come and go away without being fed. So he says, this I see in the humility of my Shaykh. So that shows that hearing the sound, the voices from outside, is not against concentration in Salat. Otherwise, how would he be away? So, understand, to be mustagharak, to be absorbed, to have khushu. Khushu is matlub, maqsood. To be mustaghraq is mahmood. It is praiseworthy. It is not required. So inshallah, then you will not be despondent. So what is, just to understand simply, inshallah we go into detail further as to what constitutes khushu in salat. What constitutes concentration in salat. One simple way is that Allah Akbar, Mawla Husayn al-Madni rahmatullah alayhi has made it so easy. And he has said, for our time, if a person thinks about Allah once in his entire salat, that will be termed a salat of concentration. But as I say, this is a minimum requirement. That at least once, to have the thought that Allah is watching me. Minimum. If a person cannot come to the kayfiyat, he cannot come to the condition that he is watching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have explained what it means, and as I explained 2 days ago in detail, as to what this ka'annaka tarahu means. But he says, minimum at least to have the thought that my Allah is watching me in the total duration of salat, that salat will be a salat of taat, of khushu. So that is the first thing that you should endeavor. Now we're reading our four rakat sunnah to muakkad of dhuhr. At least once, have this thought that Allah is watching me. Make this thought before you start your salat, so that it will remind you in salat that Allah is watching me. Then the further is, that in every rukun of salah, in every posture of salah, for example, qiyam standing, at least bring this thought purposefully in your mind that Allah is watching me. In ruku once, that Allah is watching me. In coma once, Allah is watching me. In sajda once, Allah is watching me. In jalsa once, Allah is watching me. Second jalsa, in the second sajda once, Allah is watching me. In qada, in a certain position, Allah is watching me. So deliberately to breathe the thought that Allah is watching. Then there is greater maratib. This is the basic. That once to think of Allah once in your salah. The other is that in every posture at least to think of Allah once. Then inshallah we'll discuss the highest stages of khushu. But the point that I'm getting here is that understand that khushu does not mean absorption. That you are oblivious of your surroundings. That is not matlub. It is not required. It is not desired. That is, if a person does reach a stage, that is a quality that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed on certain individuals. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq.